Welcome to the commentary track for Incident at Loch Ness, a movie that exactly 12 people have seen.
That's right. Soon to be 13.
Now, soon to be 13.
Yeah.
So what you should do is press play at the count of three. One, two, three. There's black screen and 20th Century Fox Home Entertainment.
Everyone's caught up. There's going to be far more than 12 watching this now, my friend. Nicely done.
Like Ginger,
14 or
quit.
15.
Feature is starting. Mike has not seen this movie before. I have.
Nah, this is the first. Now, so this is a documentary or not? What am I in for, I guess?
Yes.
Well, that's obviously not documentary footage, though. So
that's true, and that's...
Which is fine.
Actually, that is explained later.
I don't have a problem with it either way. I think documentaries are evolving in an interesting way.
But that shot actually is pretty interesting in the sense that the shot actually is documentary or could be documentary based on what you find out later.
Okay.
So the premise of this is that this is the movie that is made after somebody went to make a documentary about Werner Herzog. Now, if the name Werner Herzog means nothing to you, this movie is going to be... under and to each side of your head.
Just turn it off now, because who cares?
My name is Werner Herzog.
Okay, now, is this post Grizzly Man?
I think this is... 40 or maybe 50 films. This doesn't reference Grizzly Man. It doesn't mean it's not after it.
Okay.
I think it is before it, though. That dog Ginger is being bad with Uncle
Mike.
No,
no, no, no.
It really has to be perfect because they're a little bit boring and you don't overcook them.
I think one of the most interesting premises of this to me is that I'm just going to give away the game. In most movies of this type, you're dealing with people. If the movie is accurate, that you should have heard of before. For instance. If Spinal Tap were real, you would have heard of Spinal Tap before.
Sure.
Now, if you pay attention to movies, you know who Werner Herzog is.
Right.
He's the guy who made Grizzly Man. He made...
Fitzcarraldo.
Fitzcarraldo, in which he dragged a boat over a mountain, a life-size boat over a mountain, a big-ass boat.
Mm-hmm.
A very dicey relationship with Klaus Kinski over the years. Very famous movie director. And his presence in this lends it a real authenticity that's pretty interesting. He was talking about A Gary Wrath of God, and there's mm-hmm. Fitzcarraldo. And I think what throws you off guard at first a little is, why would Werner Herzog, who is a very serious filmmaker and seems to have virtually no sense of humor,
right. Based
on what we see of him, agree to be in this movie if it weren't real?
Right. Okay. So it's not real, is what you're saying.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's why I mentioned Spinal Tap.
Okay.
I have seen Spinal Tap with people who did not know it was fake, though. It's kind of the evolution of...
Okay, well, that's fair. That's fair. The difference in Spinal Tap being somebody's... You can only be so stupid before you go, isn't that Lenny from Lenny and Squiggy? You know, I mean, which makes it kind of phony right away. Or if you've seen... for instance, Billy Crystal in anything before,
true.
You know it's not real. You know, it's,
true. But here, that footage is from both the movies that Werner Herzog has done and from the documentaries about the movies he's done. For instance, it's Burden of Dreams is a movie about the making of Fitzcarraldo. And My Best Fiend was a documentary he made about his relationship with Klaus Kinski.
Sure.
That's where that stuff's coming from. And so there's a really fun... authenticity to this, for the most part. They're
which is a crazy relationship between Klaus Kinski and me. Very productive, though.
Have you seen My Best Fiend?
No, I have not.
And I also did a film,
It's an interesting movie because it's essentially an indictment of Klaus Kinski made without Klaus Kinski because Klaus Kinski was dead
right, yeah.
So it's kind of like it's like a smear job.
Well, it's like a, ha-ha, I lived longer. Right.
Yes.
Klaus would have made the same movie about Werner.
So, given what Werner Herzog has done, And given the fact that he once told Errol Morris, the famous documentarian, that if he got this movie made, Gates of Heaven, he would eat his shoe, and then actually proceeded to do it on film because Gates of Heaven got made.
That's right.
It's perfectly reasonable to think that Werner Herzog would go in search of the Loch Ness Monster.
Sure.
Or at least be interested in the Loch Ness Monster as a psychological phenomenon.
Absolutely.
And right here he's sort of debunking one of the famous Loch Ness photos, saying that the waves can't be miniaturized, essentially, so that there's this miniature thing and yet the waves show that it's fake.
Yeah, now see, that's interesting because he's so deathly serious, Werner Herzog is. I mean, in all of our dealings with him in the past, basically, you know, it's...
He's never made a comedy.
No, there's nothing funny about Werner Herzog, you know, unless it's unintentional, like Grizzly Man has a few moments where you just kind of have to chuckle at his pretentiousness, but...
Why have we never seen any woman being abducted from Ethiopia?
Because you haven't made the film yet, brother.
Being abducted from Bangladesh or Nigeria.
So I love the German accent, the Americanized German accent. By that I mean the German accent of somebody who's lived in Los Angeles long enough that it's he probably speaks English more than German. I just love the rhythm of it.
Yeah, he's fun. He makes Grizzly Man fun, you know, in an interesting way because of his kind of cadences.
Same thing like in poetry. When you read a great poem, you instantly would know in your heart, in your guts, that there's a deep inherent truth.
He's talking. The thing that I love about this movie is that he's talking about alien abduction, for instance, and basically saying there's no literal truth to this, but that there is a deeper truth that it is working toward. It's an understanding of, say, the power of myth or the power of folktale. And as a fake documentary, this is kind of doing a very similar thing. It is trying to speak to something about storytelling and about the truth of film, even through the fakeness of film. And there is Zach Penn, who is a real person. He's the director of this movie that you're watching, it's seen at Loch Ness, but he's also, let's look it up. He has written several movies. I think this might be the first movie he directed. But
okay.
He's been involved with Michael Bay-like projects.
Yeah, see now.
My name is Zach Penn.
You have a problem?
No, I'm just. I'm interested to see if Zach Penn can keep this up because I'm not sure he's acting being in a documentary very well.
No, he's bad. He is the guy. He's given most of the good jokes in the movie, and they're very spinal. There are three or four very Spinal Tap moments where it's just too perfect.
It pulls out of the movie.
To not be written.
Okay.
To not have been written. There are two people who get most of the good lines. Werner Herzog is one of the straight men. But I think there's a point at which I think as a form that I think we might spend more time talking about this more theoretically than about this movie. As a form, the fake documentary, the mockumentary, as well as it's been done by Christopher Guest, has really been tapped out.
Yeah, well, Guest himself has stopped doing them because he thinks they're overdone. His next one isn't. Yeah,
I thought it was still one.
No, it's improv still, but it's
okay.
Narrative. Yeah,
I think this takes. It moves toward plausibility in an interesting way, and it's talking about the plausibility and truth of cinema. So I think it's not just like I think Christopher Guest got with maybe his last movie, where essentially got into a habit of doing it that way. There's a reason that this movie is a fake documentary.
Would you say that you're kind of not at all obsessed, but really intrigued by that theme of what is real and what is cinema in movies.
Absolutely.
Funny Games is a great example of...
Yes.
Yeah, of...
Zach Penn wrote Behind Enemy Lines.
Oh, God.
Inspector Gadget.
Oh, God!
And, wait for it, PCU.
PCU. Oh, God, I barely remember that from cable. Right. Okay.
Okay, now...
And he got in bed with Herzog? And why is Ricky Jay there?
And why is Jeff Goldblum there?
And why is Goldblum there? Okay.
It's a dinner party. This goes to that whole authenticity thing that there's... Unlike in Spinal Tap, where Billy Crystal is playing a character who is not Billy Crystal, you have Ricky Jay looking like shit, and Jeff Goldblum
looking good, right?
Looking good, playing themselves. Of course, Ricky Jay is going to do a card trick.
Yeah, it's a shtick. Yeah. No, it's not a shtick. It's
actually
a career.
Shows up in Deadwood as well.
Yeah, no, he's great on Deadwood. I enjoy him a lot.
One of the nice thing is we're 10.5 minutes into the movie, and we haven't really, and this goes on for quite a bit longer. A movie like Spinal Tap pretty much gives you the joke. They get to the joke, and then this is sort of carefully set up.
Right.
The whole authenticity thing, you've got, it's patient with its setup.
Sure. Now, that's as long as the setup is working, that's fine. You know, it's the fact that we're talking and I'm kind of reading subtitles instead. I mean, did you buy it the first time you saw it? Or did you
Saw it on Netflix and knew it was a stunt.
Okay.
But liked it and was kind of ambivalent about it for a while, but eventually gave into it.
Okay.
Now, here's an example of where this is the cinematographer of the...
John Bailey?
Yes.
This is a real cinematographer, and he plays a major role in the movie. And the sound guy is a real sound guy who's worked on major movies. And so this is sort of an insider detail where it's not just that you've got Jeff Goldblum and Ricky Jay showing up, but these are actual movie people playing the roles that they would in the world.
Okay.
And I don't know that. We had to... Pamela's laptop up here, and we were looking it up on IMDb as we were going along.
One day he called me and said, "Look, I'm doing a film with
Werner Herzog." Obviously, would you have known this is not a real documentary at this point?
I'm not sure.
There's a point within, within the first 40% of the movie, there's a point when it's obvious.
Right.
A lot of it has to do with Zach Penn as a director and also Zach Penn as an actor. There are things he gets.
It's all about tone to me. I mean, it's like this guy, Zach Penn, right?
Yeah.
It's all about tone.
We'll call him Baldy.
Okay. you know, people either sound human or they don't. And I think playing real is, you know, in this kind of sense, in this kind of verite sense, is about as hard a thing to do as you can possibly do. And people who can't act can't do it. They just can't do it. So, like, line, I kind of went, well, that didn't sound
Zach Penn
human.
Is bad, but what if you consider that Zach Penn is meant to be the villain in this movie, is the representative of Hollywood?
Yeah, well, that's fine. No, it's fine. You were asking if I would have believed it was a real documentary. I'm saying that would have had to do with tone. That would have had to do with listening to him and going, I think you're reading lines as opposed to actually doing this. You know,
Here's little details. The fact that Werner Herzog has wooden serving bowls. Mm-hmm. Seems very right to me.
Sure, yeah. But that comes from watching things from an actor's perspective. You know, I don't look at the bowls. I would never have noticed the bowls unless you mentioned them.
I didn't notice them the first time.
I would have listened to, you know, how they're speaking and seeing if that sounds like something a human would say. And I don't know because we're, you know, talking over, but I'm guessing I wouldn't buy Zach Penn. So I might kind of get out of the, you know, being fooled by the mockumentary format early. But who knows? I'm not sure.
I think it's, I mean, like the best fake documentaries, it's going to work whether you know it or not. And it's going to, I think this straddles a line and kind of does it up to a point where it thinks it can get away with it and then says, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm going to, clearly we're not real.
I like that Ricky Jay looks like shit.
He looks terrible. He looks like me.
He looks like an old man. He looks really tired.
He's without makeup. I mean, he's,
you know? Yeah, exactly. No, it's
but he looks happy.
Yep, that adds. He looks like a real person. He looks.
And who is that?
Who is that?
That's Crispin Glover.
Oh, I was looking at the gal, the blonde.
The guy on the left.
Oh, I didn't even notice who she was talking to. Okay.
Ginger. That was Crispin Glover. You know, the guy who kicked Letterman in the head?
He will always be Back to the Future to me. Well, no, that's not even true. He'll always be River's Edge to me. Yeah.
Hey, baby.
Okay, so the idea is that they're going to go film a documentary on Loch Ness, or they're going to make a Loch Ness movie?
Well, that's kind of what you're getting at here, is that, Ginger, leave Mike alone, is that Werner Herzog thinks he's making a documentary about the Loch Ness Monster, or about related to the Loch Ness Monster, and the guy who they brought in to be the cinematographer is talking about his lighting package, and Werner Herzog doesn't understand that because it's a documentary. You don't need a lighting package. And then the cinematographer asks him about the recreations, which Werner Herzog has no idea about. Of course,
I'm proving to be much worse at reading and talking simultaneously than I thought I might be, so you might have to keep me caught up.
So I think you've already established the clear conflict, which is that Zach Penn, who comes from having made PCU and writing Behind Enemy Lines, Werner Herzog is interested in making a typical Werner Herzog documentary.
Right.
And Zach Penn is interested in the Loch Ness Monster.
Okay.
And that there's a conflict there.
All right. Yeah, okay. So they found a hack. They're basically, it's kind of like the Odd Couple with a hack and an artist, right? It's, can these two crazy guys ever get along? Yeah, so one's all Hollywood-y and one's all...
And one's Werner Herzog.
Right, yeah.
A lot of
different kinds, that's probably the average one. I better buy those, though, because it has both of them. It's like shopping with your grandpa. Awesome.
He's really good in this.
Vernon?
Yes.
I like him so far.
Normally I produce my own films, but that was always a necessity. But here there was a case where all of a sudden the money was there, and I didn't have to go to...
This is kind of important because why would Werner Herzog ever hook up with Zach Penn? Here it kind of establishes that he's kind of tired of raising all the money and doing everything.
Yeah, well, God
somebody
bless.
Says, here's money. Make a movie for me. He doesn't even second guess, well, why would this guy, who's a hack...
Absolutely. Now, how I'm always kind of thrilled when artists just do movies for hire.
How old would you say his wife is?
I would guess at best 30.
At the youngest 30?
At the oldest 30.
And how old is he, you guess?
I'd guess 60.
Isn't it nice to know even that an artsy-fartsy filmmaker like Werner Herzog still gets...
Why? Dude, because he's a guy. Because he's a guy. You're never going to see the 30-year-old boy with a 60-year-old...
Isn't it interesting, though, that he's no different as an artiste. He's really not much different than anybody.
Yeah, hell no. Hell no. I can get a young babe? Fuck yeah. I'm doing it. You know? It's the joy. That's the joy of fame. You know, it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter.
Werner Herzog isn't famous, though.
Oh, please. You know, I fuck Werner Herzog. Who? Oh, he's a director. IMDb him, you know, and they wouldn't be impressed. So, yeah, sure. He's got to have some cash. He's a catch. I'm not saying I do Werner Herzog. I'm just saying, you know, somebody... Some money grubbing thing, right?
The score is problematic to me in the sense that most documentaries don't spend a lot of outside of things that are really artificial, like Christ, I can't even think now.
Well,
like
Errol Morris.
Things that are really artificial, like Errol Morris, often use a score, like Gates of Heaven had no score, but things like his recent stuff.
Sure, yeah. Well, when you got Philip Glass in your corner, use him for the love of God. Yeah, absolutely.
But I think the score is a little problematic here. It's a little much.
Oh, cute.
Yes, he
clunky.
Clunky.
Yeah. All
right. I didn't dislike him. His heart was in the right place.
Bad dog Ginger, in the absence of her mother, who's in Virginia, is
bad dog.
Giving
no such
Uncle Mike lots
dog.
Of kisses.
Yeah, we're okay with the love.
Make whiskey and some real urchin in the cellar.
How many Werner Herzog movies have you seen?
Oh, not many at all. Grizzly Man, I know I saw Fitzcarraldo, but again, that was in my flush of high school artsiness and ever since. Jeez. Nosferatu, is that him?
Yes.
Okay, good. Yeah, then probably three then altogether, yeah. I have a low threshold for foreign in general, just because I try not to watch a lot of movies at home. So I, you know, and seeing with the Cineplex doesn't happen.
Yeah, probably.
No, I had a great rush. If I'd never left college, I would be so movie literate right now. I mean, that was it. That was all we did was watch subtitled foreign
films. Do you feel movie illiterate because you haven't seen more than three Werner Herzog movies?
No, I feel because I don't know world cinema at all. I really don't. Just because I've been kind of mired in American cinema, you know, for no other reason, you know. I see so many movies outside. I don't really watch a lot of movies at home. I don't rent a lot of things, you know. I guess the same reason you know, you work at a Burger King 40 hours a week and then you just want to eat anywhere else. You know, it's like, no, I'm fine. I deal with it enough.
Oh, how long are you staying?
The water burner, too.
How long are you staying?
I'm
trying to be naturalistic.
Hey,
Matt. I'm not acting. See, yeah, there's an overacting and not acting that drives me crazy in the ass. But, you know, he's not harmful.
Attention, please.
Because they're not trying to fool us in a Fargo way where at the beginning they're like, this is all true, right? I mean, they want you to believe it, but they don't care if you don't. You know, I don't think.
I mean, I guess to use the current example, since this is the day that the Lady in the Water opens, that's the other guy who's a real person. Two-time Academy Award winner, in fact, really. To use the M. Night example, I think if you would feel cheated if somebody told you that Bruce Willis is dead before you saw The Sixth Sense.
Sure.
Because that trick is the movie, basically.
Yeah.
And here, if you know it's not a real documentary, I think there's enough going on that there's that it doesn't detract from your enjoyment.
Right.
If you enjoy it.
Well, either way, it's definitely fascinating for a different take on Werner Herzog, which is fun. It's like, oh, good, all right. He's not as tortured as, you know.
He's very.
You hear Werner Herzog, and you're like, "Oh, that man has some angst and agita." Damn.
He's very game. I think all Austrians are automatically considered to be very serious because of the accent. For some reason, I think that would it be the Teutonic.
Yeah,
the Teutonic accent.
Yeah, Austrian's a little more playful though, in a weird way. You know,
just straight. He's. I think I don't know if he's Austrian and German, and I'm not sure if there's a difference.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. Hey.
Nor am I sure about the difference between Australia and Austria. It's
well, like Schwarzenegger talks, and he's got kind of a lilt to his voice that isn't standard German at all. It's not.
But he's Austrian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Werner seems to have that kind of a little bit more lighthearted air. You know, I mean, his Grizzly Man narration is great.
Here's
you know, I don't agree with the filmmaker. I think that he's a tortured artist like myself, and he's not crazy. You know, he's great.
This is a very Spinal Tap moment when he gives them uniforms. And look at the spelling. You'll be seeing the spelling of the on the back of the uniforms.
Okay.
And I don't think it's pointed out directly. I think it's just the holding of the shot that tells you this.
By now,
Or maybe it comes later.
That's a bit actory right there.
What?
That entrance and stance and expression is all a little bit actory.
And here's
a little bit, I'm trying to be the extra who's just, yeah.
And here's the point at which the movie basically gives itself away
completely,
which is the intrusion of the camera and the plausibility of that. And we're 25 minutes in, and there's just... And the thing about it is that it's unnecessary.
Okay.
I mean, they're basically showing, they're showing how they're going to fake the Loch Ness Monster right here. You see that very clearly later. And so the only, it's either bad filmmaking, which you're welcome to feel, or it's the idea of giving away the game, essentially, at that point.
Okay. All right, that's fair. That's fair. That's totally fair if it keeps going in that direction, I think. Well, we shall see. That's what I haven't said before.
We started out with Adrian Shine, who is a naturalist who lives right by the shore of the lake.
So far, as of now, it seems that if you give away the game intentionally, then I don't see any point in the movie. So I think it's got to be going from a perspective of we want people to believe this all the way through. Maybe not. That's what I'm reading so far. Otherwise, what's the point? Then it just becomes an exercise in let's do a mockumentary. So,
no, it's actually speaking to. I think later you'll see how it comes together thematically.
Okay.
Whether you buy it or not.
Okay. Well, that's fair.
And you can disagree later.
Yeah, absolutely. You like people like won't I said, be I was, privy to it.
Though. I was back and forth on it. I was enjoying it, but I wasn't sure whether I liked it or not until maybe about two-thirds of the way through.
Okay.
Maybe even a little longer.
From a different perspective, and I was straight at them with my celluloid camera.
With your crew, I'm not sure whether we started or not.
No, when they are always around somehow.
Oh, see, this music I kind of like. Actually, I'm bored with that. That's fun.
Two boys taking a toddler away from it. They actually murdered him.
Bernard, this is Professor Michael Carnell, who is our cryptozoologist. This is
pleasure to meet you.
Barristain.
Hello.
Photographer.
We finally are teamed up on an expedition. I'm looking forward to it. I want to let you know that...
How did Zach Penn get this game?
I think this is one of those... what is it? Projects of Passion, but
the Dogma thing?
No. I think it was Labor of Love. Projects of Passion.
Okay.
Projects of Passion.
No, that was nice.
Labor of Love. Like whatever.
Yeah, all right. No, that was a nice euphemism for it. Yeah. But I mean, Zach Penn. Why him? How did he get this? How did he get to work with Herzog? It wasn't his. Idea was it? I
You're
can't imagine.
And he's directing it. And
all right. Okay. Well, God bless. I mean, that's great. I saw all those other movies he did. You know, it's like really. They weren't
I think it's
very
the kind
smart.
Of thing where at some point. It's something where the system subsumes somebody's artistic ambitions. And
okay.
This is not and the funny thing is I think this is considered an artsy movie, even though it's really fairly coarse in many ways.
Sure.
And it requires that you understand who Werner Herzog is and understands his history, but it's a mockumentary. It's you can't reinvent that. I mean...
Yeah. It's just, his... His output up until now has not filled you with, hope for his future.
I mean, here's another little bit over the top bit right here.
Well, what's the solution to that? I don't know if you had this in the budget, but on Drop Zone, you actually use a tow vessel about 500 yards beyond the bow, and we pull the picture boat along, and that way this boat would be totally quiet.
See, I'm buying all that.
2 weeks ago, you guys showed in some boat, right? That was,
this is where we go.
A smaller boat, but I remember we walked on and said, this boat is a whisper
yeah,
quiet.
Yeah, that was a much smaller boat than the smaller engine.
Hear me out. What I'm saying is, take the engine from that boat and this put it in this boat. Take out this engine, put in that engine.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
It's very Spinal Tappy.
That's unfortunate, yeah, okay. It's turning Zach Penn into a character.
Yes, and he is, and as is the cryptozoologist. Two people really play characters in this, and they're the two.
Okay.
Find a different captain, find somebody who will put the uniform. I understand, I respect that. I respect, he doesn't want to do it.
It's like Paul Schaefer in This Is Spinal Tap saying, kick this ass for a man. Fuck to the timing. Got no timing.
I got no timing.
It's like that, it's that moment right there.
Yeah. That's too bad.
I'll go home. We won't go too fast. They'll be fine. Okay?
Problem solved.
Okay?
So, Robert, let me ask you a question. How is production going so far?
Not bad. We've had a few interesting dates. Mr. Herzog's here.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, okay, that's interesting. He would fit in really nice, it seems, in a Christopher Guest mockumentary.
Yes, he would.
But not in this kind of lower rent, you know, that's not what we're doing thing. You walk into a Christopher Guest, you know you're in a mockumentary, you know?
He pops the bubble. But yeah. I think, I'll be generous and say, I think it's intentional that you keep... that there's this intrusion of something fake into it.
Okay, all right. I was
into something that's otherwise pretty natural.
Why do you think that is? I mean, why not go one way or another? Why
because
punctuate your movie
with
this?
If you did it straight, like you played it like this is not a fake documentary,
okay.
Then at the end, the only point was we were trying to fool you into thinking it was a fake documentary.
Okay.
If you throw out enough silly things, enough ridiculous things,
okay,
to essentially break the spell.
All right,
it pulls you out of that. This is a real thing, and makes you maybe pay attention to it structurally and maybe what's being said. And there's a theme here about truth, and here's another little bunch of Spinal Tap bits about film truth and story truth and things of that nature that I think really come together well at the end.
Okay.
So when the guy says basically that he hangs up his clothes and lets the dirt fall off to clean them,
yeah,
that
you know you're in make-believe, right?
Yes.
Right, okay. Well, then why not just do that throughout? Why, you know...
It likes fucking with you a little.
Okay, all right.
I mean, that opening dinner party scene, I think... Why would you fake... I mean, that went on for like 15 minutes. Why would you fake that?
I don't know. I really don't know. I guess I don't know. You know, and this goes back to funny games too, which I know a lot of people really adore. But I don't know how many like real people adore.
I don't think
is this fun to anyone except for? I don't mean this movie because actually, you know, I don't mean that. But are these kind of games between reality and subjective reality fun for anyone except the filmmakers or film geeks?
Maybe not. I mean...
And that's not really as much of a cut-down as I'm making it sound. It's just that...
Why
don't you go one way or the other?
My mother would say that this movie is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They would be... Because she didn't think it was funny. Or it wasn't exciting. Or mm-hmm. it wasn't romantic or whatever.
Sure.
She doesn't want existential questions. She does not want to be asked what is real, what is not. You know, she wants March of the Penguins.
Right.
She does not want Grizzly Man.
Okay.
March of the Penguins is cute.
Sure.
Grizzly Man is not cute.
No, it's anti-cute. All right.
I mean, you have to... I mean, most of what... If you market your movie right, nobody has any complaints because nobody who shouldn't see it is going to see it. I mean, you market the Benchwarmers to the kind of people who like Benchwarmers.
Sure.
You don't pitch it as the Citizen Kane of baseball movies.
Absolutely, right.
And I don't think... The fact that nobody's ever heard of this movie speaks to the effectiveness of its marketing. If you hadn't heard of it, you would never know it exists. You would never be tempted to see it.
Sure. Okay, that's fine.
No, this is a movie for film geeks. I think a perfectly valid criticism of this movie is that it was made for an audience of whether you think it's 20 or 200 or 2,000 or 20,000 people, a very small population.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
How many people do you know the name Werner Herzog?
Oh, like none. Of course. Okay. Of course not.
I mean, if you don't know Werner Herzog, you can't see the movie. So you've already shrunk your potential pool of... Which is why you get back to labor of love thing.
Right.
You can't market this movie to anybody except, like, the Werner Herzog fan list.
Right. Yes.
Or the Zach Penn fan list, which we hope is significantly smaller.
Well, the Zach Penn fan list isn't coming to see this, right? Yeah, this is for the Herzog fans, which is great because I think that's absolutely important.
For the record, I have seen Fitzcarraldo. I have seen Nosferatu. I have seen Invincible with Tim Roth, and I saw that with Werner Herzog in the room, actually.
Mm, that's pretty cool.
So
he went up and said, "That sucked ass."
Yeah, pretty much.
Really rude.
It did suck ass. My Best Fiend, yes. I've not seen Grizzly Man yet. I have your copy. I've had it for many, many months.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, could I borrow that for the weekend and give it back on Monday?
Of course you can.
Excellent.
It's yours. You own it.
I know, but I'll give it back. I want to show Casey that because it's actually, I've been thinking about it recently. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure where the shot is that sort of emphasizes the type on the back of the uniforms.
With the misprint? Or maybe not misprint.
Misspelling. Probably right around here.
So this is like a fictitious La Mancha movie, right? The Terry Gilliam?
The Man of La Mancha.
No, not Man of La Mancha. Lost in La Mancha.
Well, yeah. I know. Which is not terribly interesting.
No,
it's the most boring movie to be made about an interesting person, an interesting situation.
How on earth do you make that movie boring? They found a way. I was like, really? You're going to make a Johnny Depp, Terry Gilliam movie look boring?
Oh,
badly done. Yeah, bad flick.
Thank you, Devin.
Yeah, God bless, right? Oh, still thrilled to see it.
That was very much reminds me of... he reminds me of Nigel Tufnel in Spinal Tap.
He reminds me of Richard Libertini.
I've never heard of that name.
Did you ever see All of Me?
Steve Lily Tomlin.
Yeah. He's a sitcom actor from the 70s and 80s.
There's the woman whose breasts we do not get to see in the movie.
Right.
They are in the deleted scenes, though, on the flip side of the disc.
Really?
Yes.
Just her breasts?
They are fake.
Is that its own
kind of it's a sunbathing thing.
Oh.
The most absolutely beautiful creature came in with us.
Can I tell you about my favorite line in the Shyamalan movie today?
Sure.
He's a janitor, and he's trying to kill this bug underneath somebody's sink, and they're all screaming in the background, "It's a creature of some sort, it's a creature!" And Giamatti goes, "There's no such thing as creatures." And I just went, actually, there are. They come great and small. Creatures are fine. Terrible writing.
Apparently, sonar operators are an ugly lot.
And she just doesn't look like one. I don't quite trust her.
It's the boat with a small engine.
No.
So there's a joke that was set up 10 minutes before.
Uh-huh.
That's a nice rhythm thing right there.
Absolutely. No, I'm a big fan of that.
He's playing a dupe and he's doing it well. And
I agree. Yeah, absolutely.
It's going. I think it's going really well. I think it's I'm a few disappointments. I'm a little bit disappointed Werner didn't wear the jumpsuit. I would have liked to have seen that. I think it would help with the expedition.
The jumpsuit. Oh my God! Yeah.
See, he's fun.
It was just ridiculous. And they even spelled expedition on the back.
They do point it out. But
that's very nice.
Our cryptozoologist. And, oh wow, John, look at this. You're going to get a fighter pilot coming right by.
Oh, that's got to be a happy accident, right?
Behind enemy lines, and I went out in an aircraft carrier, and I think that's when I really started to love being on the water.
See, that's his best scene so far, I think. I really love the way the movie looks.
And shot some on film, some on digital video. It looks right to me.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Except
for the camera going into the other person's hotel room, it's got the look that a documentary should have, in the sense that it's a little rough around the edges,
mm-hmm.
because of the way it's being shot. But it also has there's a beauty to the settings they've chosen, for instance, and the shot selection and things like that. That's very nice.
Absolutely. The only thing that's bother me, you know, from one gleaning is just people not sounding like humans, you know, and that's just coming from, that's how I look at movies, you know, and how
Are they not sounding like humans sounding like humans, if you understand my meaning?
I do understand your meaning, that's what I mean, you know, it's, but I would say the same thing about a fiction movie where they don't sound human either, so, you know, where it just, you know, some people are better at it than others. Laramie Project is one of those great examples. A movie that's written so naturalistically that if you're doing it wrong, you're going to be able to tell. And documentary is just the same way, or fake documentary, I should say, is the same.
It was really great. Don't worry, it was great.
That's a nice human moment there where Werner Herzog was laughing at him as he was talking and then says, "Don't worry, Mikey, it was really great," without having been asked. I mean, he's essentially reassuring him. When he's, you know, and it's obvious that...
Why call it number four?
Werner Herzog is making himself look like an ass, like a prick right there, because he's basically being... He's not even recognizing that, of course, the guy understands that he's being made fun of right there.
Okay, well, you're really killing me here. I'm really not getting a good thing here, but... All right, how do you feel about it?
And I like that. That's too, you know, like the guy says basically, it's a very human thing to say, "You're fucking me, but I don't care. It's okay." You know, that whole sort of,
yeah,
it's what we do. We rather than not bothering somebody about it and just saying, "Oh no, it's okay," we basically say, "Here's how you're fucking me."
Yeah.
But I'll live.
Exactly. And you don't explode either. You don't say, you know, this just doesn't happen. No, that's okay. That's okay. No, it means more work for me. Okay.
Like, this was an authentic expedition to find the Loch Ness Monster. Jacques Cousteau didn't go out in a boat called, you know, the Tweety Bird. You know, it had some cool name. I don't know what it was, but I'm sure it was cool. And,
see, that's funny.
Discovery 4. I don't know. To me, it worked.
You probably missed the prelude to that, which was somebody asking whether there was a Discovery 1, 2, and 3.
Ah, okay. I did miss that.
And he said no.
One moment. Werner was downstairs.
The goodwill I have toward this movie has a lot to do with the how everybody's a good sport.
We are going to be filming a time. Well, it's also really hard. This is a really hard genre to pull off. You know?
What's my line?
I am. Whenever you see like Larry Sanders or Entourage or, you know, I always give celebrities the benefit of the doubt when they have to like play themselves, because that's tough. You know, I can't imagine.
that incredible girl pull her boiler suit out and then she's with the tiniest bikinis I ever seen in my life.
Because you are a model and you're a sonar operator.
Well, here's the moment for me where I could give it the benefit of the doubt up until now, I think. You know, this, I mean, this, which is fine. This is cool. See, yeah, now they've thrown it to the dogs, you know, in not in a bad way, but they've said there's nothing real here anymore.
My name is Katana Baker. I'm an actress and a model.
This is awesome.
I've modeled for Playboy, and I have been in the Miller Lite Cat Fight commercial, and I've done some work for a while on
Small. Just delayed gratification. There's a joke that's coming. Mm-hmm. Which is, of course, the lakes in Scotland are really fucking cold. And yet, it's like denying you that joke for the introduction of her, is for that little insert there.
Yeah.
Which is of no value unless you've seen the movie before.
Okay.
The fact that, like, you're withholding the joke?
Sure, yeah.
If you don't know there's a joke coming...
Yeah, absolutely, right. Okay, I mean, that makes sense.
But it's a film geek thing, because the only way you're going to get that as being funny is if you've seen the movie before, and the only way you're going to watch it twice is if you're a film geek.
A Russian and I said, we're making two films.
But to me, you kind of trivialize what we were doing in terms of...
Well, yeah, but that's what you do. I mean, that's absolutely what you do, you know, and that...
Probably to hold your own interest in it.
Well, I mean,
you're sitting there editing it, you know, you're filming and editing it for weeks, months.
Sure.
You've got to amuse yourself somehow.
Well, it also shows your... It's one of those things that you don't necessarily have to see it twice. You just have to realize, like, 5 seconds after the fact that, oh, look what they did there. They didn't tell us that. You know, I mean, you can appreciate while you're watching the movie, sure, you know.
I wanted some answers from Zach.
Okay, see now, for me, from now on, that would have been the first moment that I went, there's nothing about this that's real. It's over. So
about the halfway point.
Right. So theoretically, if this movie works the way I want it to work, there will be nothing realistic for the rest of the movie, and I'll be happy as a clam. Nothing to make us try to think this is actually real, because that would be great.
I think you're going to get... I think that's how it works.
Okay.
Why do they think that in these deep waters a prehistoric creature, some sort of a dinosaur is dwelling...
Do you buy this in the sense that does he have this sort of portentous dialogue in Grizzly Man?
Oh, it's way worse in Grizzly Man.
Really? Okay, because I thought... This is where I thought... I don't think Werner Herzog would do
it. It's way worse.
Okay. I know he's in it. I know he's in it like an active participant. But
he's not that active. No, he's not really on screen that much at all. But he narrates throughout. But it's 10 times this. Yeah.
Basically, I'll add a piece of information. Then you add another piece of information. But if you negate my information, it stops everything.
And as Ron Silver...
Yes.
When I learned everything, I kind of understand him much better. I think he was doing what he was told to do.
Excuse me.
He seems inwardly concerned with the not much with, hair he has.
With the remnants of his hair, yeah.
See, now there's blatantly fake. I mean,
That wasn't bad. I didn't think that was terrible.
I don't think the camera would... camera operators, I think, have tunnel vision.
Uh-huh.
I think that there's a discussion of it that where you've got to keep one eye on the shot and one eye off it to make sure you're not missing anything, but they set that up, I think, throughout... that's discussed throughout the movie. It seems a little too easy. But once you show the Loch Ness Monster, I mean...
Right. Yeah. Well, you've shot your watch, man.
And to, when you talked about having a movie where what's the point if it's not, you know, what's the point of this? You have Zach Penn who wants to make this, who wants to make a movie about the Loch Ness Monster. You have Werner Herzog who wants to make a genuine investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got this thing that's kind of in the middle, which is this movie you're watching.
Right.
And it's straddling a line, and I think it's...
Yeah,
well, it's it finds a value in both of them, I think.
Okay, all right, that's more than fair.
And you and you'll see. And if it works for you, great. And if it doesn't, that's great too.
Yeah, well, it's yeah, and like we said before we started this too. I mean, this was going to be awkward anyway because there's only so much I can glean while talking about a thing I haven't seen yet. You know, so yeah.
I'm sorry. I know I said you can shoot in here, but I've got a meeting in 15 minutes. So you guys.
He looks like dressed for Arby's.
He has a terrible wardrobe.
Well, let's bring him in first thing.
He's like the world's dullest superhero with that shirt.
Let's bring him in the first thing in the morning, and we'll get this sorted out then, and we'll do it before we get on the boat.
Okay,
sir. Yeah,
we need to talk.
Okay. Can we go in the other room?
I need $100,000. It's his Gotham moment.
Exactly what is going on when you are shooting with the cinematographer all alone and I'm not there. And you have this girl in a bikini and she's supposed to be a sonar expert. Oh, come on, I'm too long in the profession. I'm just too long in the profession.
All right, this is nice.
All right, it's a hoax. It is just a hoax.
I think you're really overreacting.
No, I'm spending
This is why you don't need that earlier scene where they're going in the hotel room and showing the plans, because the guy comes in with the fake Loch Ness Monster right there, and it would be so much more fun if that hadn't been set up at all.
Exactly, I've done. They're just done.
Yeah, that's a little actory, but it's okay. He's been good so far.
John. You better get that fucking camera out of my face. I'm serious. Get out of my fucking way.
Yeah, whatever.
That was bad.
Yeah. No, but I like that. I like the idea that Werner feels that the rug's being pulled from up, you know, from under him. So.
Come on. Listen, Werner. I made a mistake, okay?
And at least the camera's consistent in being really fucking nosy.
Yeah.
And almost being unobtrusive to the point where it can do this without being noticed. I mean, it's...
Well, that's a difference. Well, listen, did you once said to me, cinema is
awesome. So here's where we're getting into the metatextual.
Sure.
If you can't make the distinction, if you just can't make the distinction...
Cinema is lies. What do you think of that?
See, now, you're right. I am more intrigued by this now than I was for the, you know, first...
Okay. Well, I think... Listen, I distorted things.
I mean, that whole idea of Werner Herzog going out to Loch Ness and doing this narration from the Loch, and there's a fakeness about that, and we have to understand that even really straightforward documentaries are fake. They're fake in the way they're edited.
They have to be, right.
So cinema is lies. I think that's accurate.
Mm-hmm.
That's a matter of degree. It's fair.
Think about Backdraft.
There's a fairly sophisticated concept here, or conflict here between art and commerce, which is Werner wants to give up for art, and Zach makes a very good point that there's commerce involved in your art. That these people lose their jobs if you give up on, if you quit, they lose their jobs. And I think that's, it's not just how much money you make or who you're pandering to. It's
absolutely.
There's something at stake, and that's essentially the hook that keeps him here.
I just want to give you the heads up about that.
There's you get the misspelled expedition crew.
Yes. And I'm sorry, day two is really funny all of a sudden because I was like, that was only a day? Really, it felt like a week. I was, all right, that's awesome. In a great way. In like a, wow, so much. Okay. See, this is one of those things that...
We were all having problems on that boat. I mean, it wasn't just that day.
This is one of those ideas that I think I would like better in a traditional narrative structure of Werner Herzog, even playing himself, getting fucked over by this film crew, even though we knew it was fictitious, because I think they're going to such lengths to make us convinced that it's real that it ends up seeming more phony.
You'd like to see the treatment more like the player.
I guess... I'm trying to make an analogy.
The player could have been done as a fake documentary fairly easily.
Sure, yeah.
And with all the cameos, it's essentially, it becomes a parody of... And it's a parody of itself, essentially.
Right,
And I think, you know, all the cameos in the player are meant to give it some authenticity. And the idea that, you know, here's... Tim Robbins not being Tim Robbins, but rubbing elbows with real Hollywood types and
watching a movie with Susan Sarandon, but it's not actually his.
Yes,
sure. Yeah. Yeah, because for some reason that's far more real to me. Far more real than.
Both of these, I think it's actually a fairly interesting comparison because both movies are about artifice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the player is. The player is essentially the Hollywood movie that would be made out of this story.
Right.
Of its own story.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because, the way it's shot, the way you always moving in on movie posters and the way Lyle Lovett is and the music. I mean, it's like a Hollywood movie of its own, of itself.
Yeah.
And I think this has a similar level of artifice.
I agree, except that... It's... Oh, man. This... I kind of need to see this one again. Because this is setting up a really interesting level of Werner being upset because he's in a fiction that he thought was going to be real.
Of course, he's in a fiction. He's willingly in a fiction.
Yes.
Where he's pretending to be upset about being in a fiction.
Yes.
Because it's playing off his...
Absolutely.
His image of as being really serious.
You got it. And what that does is that deprives you of any emotional connection to this movie whatsoever, and that's what bothers me with
it. That's fair.
I'm much more
interested in exercises than you are.
I know. No, it's fascinating. I love it. That's very cool.
I'm very much a postmodernist in the sense that something commenting on itself in an earnest way as opposed to commenting on itself in an ironic way.
Right.
Something that's
not
essentially dissecting itself while it's looking, you know, taking a knife to itself, I think is very interesting.
Oh, yeah.
That self-awareness is interesting to me. And I think that's true of this. I think it's true of the player.
I agree. It stops at interesting for me. And if I have nothing to kind of relate to or grasp onto or care about, then I don't give a shit. But that's just the fundamental difference.
One difference for me is that I get emotionally involved in the player in the sense that one of the most interesting things that happens there is that I am interested. I'm actually rooting for Tim Robbins' character, who's the protagonist, but he's not in any way a hero. He's a prick.
Sure.
And yet I root for him, and I think it speaks to the power of cinema to put your rooting interest in a despicable person by putting him at the center of it, essentially. Mm-hmm. It's almost just like your exposure to him makes him somebody you root for automatically. Sure. And I don't have that same rooting interest here.
You're not supposed to. I can't, because the player is obviously a fiction, and they, despite throwing in famous people, they they don't ever try to pretend otherwise. They never try to pretend this is verite or that you're watching any kind of documentary. You know you're not. You know, you... They are. You know, they're trying to convince you it's real. The thing about funny games, and what's so disturbing and why, as much as I'm not crazy about it, I can't get it out of my head, is because they kind of do a really nice job of convincing you it's a narrative, only to say, oh, by the way, it's not, we're making a movie. You know, it's...
Well, they keep poking you and saying, remember, it's a movie.
Right, yeah. And you, but it, you know, 10, 15 minutes pass and you forget, and then they remind you again. It's actually very brilliant. I just, it's so
disturbing. It's the fourth wall thing in theater is what Funny Games does, and it's a cliche in an ironic way, in the sense that Ferris Bueller turns to the camera and starts talking to you. That's a cliche.
Yeah.
When you deal with it earnestly, when it implicates you or says you're in trouble or that you're at fault for this, that this is your fault,
yeah,
that you're trying to drive entertainment from watching this person suffer,
yeah,
is in that context.
Well, not only that, I mean, Funny Games does something even more subversive, I think, which is it doesn't implicate like the audience as a whole, but kind of you personally.
No, yeah.
Going, you know, at least it feels
because
that
you're
way.
Only it's watching like, it alone, because how could you watch it any other way?
You know, it's really creepy. Yeah.
And thankfully, our friend Michael Haneke is remaking it for American audiences.
With Naomi Watts! I'm excited.
If you've never seen Funny Games, you should run away.
You should rent it, actually. I will tell people to rent it if you're curious. I hated it, but it will not leave my head, I got to admit. So.
We're talking about Griffin Mill being a protagonist, and I think one difference here is that it's interested in undercutting all of the... You start out with Zach Penn being an asshole and Werner Herzog because he's the more known quantity, I think, being sort of the person you relate to. But I think it subtly undercuts him, too. And he's a selfish prick in his own way in here.
It's too bad. That could have used a funnier punchline, but it was fine.
Okay, so we're dealing with the issue of fake and real again, and the irony is that as far as anyone can tell, that was actually the Loch Ness Monster, of course, so you're... What happens when you're trying to make something fake, when you assume you're not going to get the real thing and you actually do?
Right. Yeah.
It's like, we're on layer 4 now or something like that?
That sounds right. Okay.
Ready for another beer?
Yeah, please. That'd be great.
Anybody who's listening to this?
Beer break.
It's time for another beer.
Yeah.
Do you have a preference?
Nah, whatever you grab. Hey-o.
There are forces out there, and I think they've been manipulated.
All right, well, that helps, because now I'm starting to see why you said, okay, two-thirds of the way through, I was like, all right, okay. That does make things a little bit more interesting. Now I just want to see if they will pull it off performance-wise. Thank you very much. These are yummy. Lion & Kugel's Sunny Wheat is what we're drinking right now.
Sunset Wheat.
Sunset Wheat?
Yes.
Oh, Sunny Wheat. He's a performer, actually.
Indeed. Actually, there's a little flavor of anise in the Lion & Kugel's Sunny Wheat, in that Sunset Wheat, and that is not anise.
That's a performer as well.
I think it's pretty low. I mean, this is a guy who wouldn't hurt a fly.
This is a spinal tap.
See now, okay. I think once the actual monster, with the quote marks that I'm doing, that you folks can't see, once that shows up, I think the jokiness needs to end.
See, at first you wanted nothing to be believable after that. And now you want it to be believable again.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Well, it's true, because, I mean, if they're going to switch the tone, I can switch my opinion about what it needs to do. You know, I mean, it's, well, now that you've done this, this is how this is going to work. And then if you switch that, well, okay, now that you've done that, here's how you can salvage yourself. You know what I mean? It's, of course, your attitude has to change with the filmmaker's attitude, you know.
Yeah, I'm perfect.
And this is kind of the cliche, you know. It's, well, who's going to do this? Nobody knows how to do this. Well, you've done that before, so why don't you try it? And they kind of shrug their shoulders and say, okay, I'll take the M16 or whatever the weapons the kids are using these days are. We've got three movies going on. Zax, Werner's, and the...
It's not like I didn't see what he was trying to do. It's not like I wasn't aware that he was trying to make things worse. But I just figured...
What I really love about this is I think what Christopher Guest did was amusing, but I think it needed to go another level, which is it needed to say something. It needed to justify the form, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this does that in a very nice way.
Okay.
Why does A Mighty Wind have to be a fake documentary?
It doesn't at all. It doesn't at all.
Or fashion show. Or
right, it's just the style. But I will argue that, like, for instance, I believe Parker Posey in Mighty Wind more than I believe Zach Penn in this. You know,
there's something for... Well, but this is dealing with that, and it's questioning the authenticity of artifice. And the artifice of authenticity, I think. And I think it's okay. Asking that question is brought up here. Because I think you're right. I think A Mighty Wind is convincing. It's more convincing to me than Best in Show, and it's absolutely...
Is it more convincing to you than this?
I cried in A Mighty Wind. I own A Mighty Wind, and I cry in it.
Well, no, I'm just saying that, do you believe the people in Mighty Wind more than you believe the people in this?
I believe them emotionally more.
Okay.
I'm right. More invested. I mean, okay. I wouldn't cry during this.
Right. No, that's... Yeah. Yeah, we don't need tears. You know, we need to be pussies about this. I'm just, you know, I guess that's my problem is that I just don't believe them.
But it's asking the question. But it's, but it's not ignoring that question. It's not.
Sure.
Not, it's considering that question too among these.
This is a wireless transmitter, and they
sneeze into the water. This movie could easily be seen and dismissed as a trifle. I actually think it's really, really sophisticated and really, really interested in the issues it raises. It probably is as serious as Funny Games in its way.
Okay. All right. That's more than fair. It's very flip side of Funny Games, the more I watch it. You know, it's... Funny Games attacks you with the knowledge that it's just a movie. And this one kind of pokes at it lightly, kind of reminds me. Yeah, remember.
When I throw this in, you're going to hit the engine and start driving, all right? Yeah, Michael, you start doing your narration as soon as it goes in the water, okay? All right. Okay, you ready?
The great thing, I mentioned that we'd seen the misspelling on the jumpsuit another time. Every time you see the jumpsuit, any time you just get a hint of that text, it's funny again.
Yeah. See, that's funny.
Especially at the beginning when you probably didn't see this, when he was talking about how you can't fake the size of the waves, essentially. That
right.
Can't be... You're talking about slow-mo money shots. Here we go.
That's right. Hey! It's about time. I'm on board with it.
You know, I just thought
that's fine.
The gun was there, and you know, I wasn't planning on shooting.
This is where you have to know who Werner Herzog is, because him telling you that,
under the gun, my friend. Go ahead.
Really isn't funny unless you know, unless you've also heard that story, or that you, at least heard tell of it.
You know what? I'll direct you with the gun pointed right at your head, my friend. Pick up that camera and shoot!
The story of...
Yeah, now it's going to become Saturday Night Live, but that's all right.
...pointed at him from behind the camera. It's just a fabrication, a myth of the media. And
truth and fake again.
It has its own life.
The idea of a lie having a life of its own or being as truthful.
Just take a look.
I like that. Oh.
Okay, that's it. We're heading for the shore.
Did you see anything? The hell was it?
Something hit the boat, you know? I don't know what it was, but something just rammed right into us.
Did you like Adaptation?
I love it.
I think this is the point about the 1 hour, 9 minute and change mark where it becomes Adaptation, where it does the, where essentially it goes down the rabbit hole.
Yeah. It goes off the rails really bad. Yeah, I agree. The last 15 minutes of Adaptation, I think, are pretty bad.
Yeah, but you love the movie, though, so
you bet.
Give it for...
I do. I absolutely do. Yep.
I use the player as a comparison. I think Adaptation is another probably good one.
The player falls apart for me too. The end.
I love the ending of the player, actually.
What's wrong with the radio?
If you believe the player, if you look at the player as a parody of itself, or as the Hollywood film version of its own story, I think that kind of the pitch of it makes a lot of sense.
Right. I don't think it falls apart at all. It's just that it's, I don't know. It's not what I would have wanted from it. I'm not sure what I wanted, but.
Why'd we stop?
The engine stopped. I'm trying to stop it.
So, the whole thing about the engine,
uh-huh,
which was just a recurring joke,
yeah,
now becomes engine. Important.
Yeah. See, that's nice. That's nice structure.
No power, nothing.
Makes you want to go back and see PCU again, don't it?
A little bit. Thank God I own it, right? That was a nice little entering the hero shot moment. Nice.
I don't know. Yeah, but you should know. You are the cryptozoologist. You're the expert.
I'm not a cryptozoologist. I'm not a scientist.
I believe the definition of cryptozoologist, I think it's said a little earlier that we might have missed, is the study of creatures that don't exist.
That's perfect.
So now you learned. You might not have just learned it.
Yes, I did.
Yeah.
Yes, he was paid.
He's supposed to pay me, and he paid me a cent.
He's a paid stooge.
Stooge? What's that supposed to mean?
Not sure. Tell me who is real and who is not.
Oh, crap! Why did that moment happen?
I like that moment.
Oh, okay.
Stupid thing you put in the water.
Wait, what do you mean? It's chasing after that thing?
It's prey.
The plot. Okay, whoa.
I think that's an interesting proposal.
I mean, why else would it be chasing us?
Okay, that's just the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Yeah, I can't believe you think that's
stupid.
Okay, you guys are going crazy.
Yeah, no,
you're not.
I mean, there's no other reason why it would be after us.
Yeah, because we are food, whatever.
Well, that was interesting.
The way it freezes, the freeze frames are interesting.
Yeah.
I was genuinely disappointed that the sound guy and the cinematographer disappeared because from the movie after the bar scene, because I think they are besides Werner Herzog the most believable, credible performers.
Effortless. Yeah, just
and they're really funny too.
Yeah, it's quite a while before we since we've seen them.
Everybody was kind of angry.
Yeah, the score's a little bit much, but yeah.
As I was sitting there,
Pink Panther.
it dawned on me that whatever...
It's actually kind of...
Das Booty?
actually kind of Errol Morrissey.
Yeah,
and then the
fast for me too. Yeah.
Fast sheep out of control way, not in the Philip Glass way.
No.
What's it doing?
You know, this is really fun.
It's the Star Trek moment.
Yeah. Where's the one character we haven't seen before who could be sacrificed to the last Loch Ness monster? This is day three, is that correct?
I believe so.
Okay. Oh my God,
I got him. Lance, it's Zach. Listen, connect me to the Scottish Coast Guard.
Okay. I've never had any interest in Scotland. Certainly nothing in Loch Ness, nothing really to the Loch Ness Monster. This makes me want to go to Scotland.
You totally want to go, yeah, absolutely, you should. See, I mean, that's beautiful, though. I mean, oh, it would be amazing to see.
The battery's dead?
Yeah.
Damn it! He just, that's my fucking phone! What did you do that for?
Love to shoot off a flare gun.
Nobody's gonna come.
That'd be fun.
Everybody thinks it's a hoax. It's all anyone talked about in the bar last night. We're sunk, James. That's it.
That's a nice setup too, because that's why I beat up the cryptozoologist. It's because the fake movie.
We're not gonna be. That'd be freaking me out. Oh, God.
Oh, sad. That's awesome.
Special effects aren't bad in this.
Special effects are great. Yeah, I'm really happy.
I'm not sure I believe that if guys in the water like that the cameraman's just going to keep the camera there. I think documentary filmmakers, I think I'm trying to give them too much credit as human beings. I think documentary journalists tend to have the ability when the guy's getting the gun's right there and the guy's getting his brains blown out that they're not going to interfere.
Yeah.
But it strikes me as wrong.
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's the trick of the job. I mean, some of the most amazing photos, of course, in the world are of
what's the one from Vietnam or Cambodia? I'm not sure it was where the guy's head is.
Yep.
In the middle of his brains being blown out.
Zach stole the lifeboat. I had only one thought on my mind. If I survived this, I was going to find Zach Penn, and I would hunt him down, and I would strangle him with my two hands.
Sorry, Schwarzenegger moment.
It really was. I was waiting for it. It's not a tumor.
Hold on. Just hold on.
Even if you don't like it, I'm glad you're engaged with it.
No, I'm totally engaged. Please. Yeah.
One of us should try to swim for shore.
Listen, I've told you before, the water's far too cold to stay with you. I've got one wetsuit more.
I'm going to swim. See, the effects are pretty great, yeah. The visuals are nice.
But they're not so arty that you immediately say, oh, well, that's not real.
No, they don't draw attention to the beautiful visuals. They're kind of there for you to find, which is nice. See, I wish Lake Placid was this good. You know, but
no. Oh, it's using the Jaws model, which is the less you see, the better.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And maybe that's just Bruce the Shark. Maybe.
Ooh, Well, I think accidentally Spielberg kind of showed everyone how to do it. Yeah.
Well, I think the.
Okay.
There's. I think you read one of two sets of stories about that. One is the how great Jaws is because you never see the monster, and second is how that was purely a matter of circumstance. That is simply because they didn't have a monster to use for
exactly
a lot of
right.
it.
Exactly right. Yeah.
And it's just the happy accident.
Well, it's like Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I mean, the reason that they had coconuts for the horses is because they couldn't afford horses. It's like, well, look at that. I'm so scared. We're in the woods. It's all my fault.
Wait, do the Blair Witch check. Let's see your nose. Tilt your head.
No dripping. No dripping. Very, very quiet.
How do you feel about Blair Witch Project several years after?
Still like it. Still very impressed with it. It was probably about 4 or 5 viewings later, I was still scared by it. It still really got on my nerves in a cool way. And now I'm just kind of impressed that they made this thing with so little money. Nice! That's nice! That's a really nice touch.
Except it's in a tube. This is how that shot from the beginning happens. It's the camera's
in the tube.
Oh, okay.
All right.
You know, they put the camera in the tube, so. It's better than most things. I still don't quite buy that whole pixelation quite.
It's
better
course.
Than it usually is.
Sure, yes, but still it's on its par with Persona when the film breaks and melts away.
I've seen Persona.
Oh, okay.
It's on the Netflix list at about 95.
Okay. I don't know exactly. Keeps getting shoved down further. Camera. It was probably
instinct from years of making. This addresses the question I was just asking.
Sure. This I bought in Blair Witch. I actually did. I actually bought. Why? That was everyone's biggest gripe. It seemed to be. Why are you still filming? In this
Blair Witch is another good comparison to this. I think we've come up with at least three really interesting comparisons for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to remember what the first one. So Spinal Tap, The Player, Blair Witch. What else?
Ooh, that's neat. Bound to the player in this and Christopher Guest movies and
This is bad CGI. But it is digital photography, so I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just.
That didn't seem that bad.
Hello, Ellen. How are you? Happy birthday, how's college going?
I like in this bit that they never bothered to set the date and time on the camera.
Oh, that is funny. Okay, yeah, you're right.
Like real people.
That's really funny.
You know, I can't tell you that I saw what hit us, but it was big. I mean, it threw us out of the bath. I mean, it was torn apart, and we just swam. You know, I started swimming one direction, and Robert, I guess, swam in the other.
Hold on.
I don't know what happened to him. No, I can't tell you that I know whether he was attacked or whether he just sank or whether he, you know, died of exposure. You know, given that his body never showed up, I don't have the answer to those questions.
You but, can't dust for vomit.
I do know.
You can't dust for vomit.
Will you shut that camera off?
Again, referencing the issue of why would you keep shooting in a situation like that?
Yeah. It works for me, Blair Witch, because.
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It's the first time I asked the question, I'm interested why he would be shooting that.
Sure.
Rather than dropping the camera and doing it. And then.
Yeah.
Then Werner says, I grabbed the camera probably from 2 decades of making movies. And then this guy says, could you turn it off?
Right.
And there's the shot from the opening.
Where was that camera, though? In a tube, right?
It's right there. It's okay. In the yellow thing.
Yeah.
because Werner is unconscious. And lucky he's face up.
Okay. All right. Well, that's nice. That works. All right.
Is he okay?
So what you assumed to be artificial at the beginning turns out to be
as
fairly, you know, as well as reasonably...
I thought I smelled egg on my face.
You should pull this hammer for me.
Hey, can I borrow this tonight?
Yeah.
I want to show it to my roommate and see what a non-film geek thinks of it.
That's a good idea.
Okay.
And then there was Zach, filming the camera.
Score's too whimsical.
Yeah, right now it's a little bit lighthearted and a little bit... It's plinky-plunky. It's
6 feet under you.
It's more lighthearted than 6 feet under, but it's got that Thomas Newman kind of feel to it. Yeah, absolutely. Doesn't have his synth going like crazy.
I believe that two people have lost their lives. I don't know who these people are. That's not actually my department. And a couple of other people are either injured or traumatized.
Gilligan.
A little bit hysterical.
Gilligan!
Difficult to get any real information out of them as to the causes of this tragedy.
My feelings are that something really went completely bad and the accident was created. We have seen that before. It has happened before several times.
I think it was obvious to both of us that we had been had, and I mean, as far as I'm concerned, we were had by Zach Penn.
The radio worked.
Yeah, let's blame that.
Particular time on...
He did before enemy lines.
Oh, I know, a couple of days later, you know, it wasn't working.
I did go get the rescue boat. I pulled all of you guys out of the water. Well, I didn't pull you out of the water, but I supervised. The pulling out of the water.
Yeah, I bet he's got improv training, I would guess, Zach Penn does.
For the death of Michael and Robert.
He's not totally believable, but he's real enough.
Every time that
there's a disconnect between the real, well, Zach, it's going to sound dismissive, between the real filmmakers and Zach Penn and the cryptozoologist, for instance. They're almost like they're in different movies or they're at cross purposes.
Yeah.
And I hope that that's maybe a choice rather than an accident.
Yeah, the film is credited to Zach Penn as director. That's how this is. I just don't know. Is that?
I think for legal and revenue purposes, yes. I think it's the. This is
who
the,
cares that
this
that
is the
now.
This is the documentary that we at the beginning we saw was being made about Werner Herzog.
Right.
So this is the truth of, you know, if...
You know, I'm a Hollywood screenwriter. I wanted to...
So this said 2003 was the shooting, so my guess is it's
excitement and
before Grizzly Man.
And I thought that that had to be created. And what I learned was I didn't need to do any of that stuff because what was happening to us was so much more interesting than the things that I was inventing. And that's what's so amazing is how much cooler the truth is than fiction.
Finding the monster was never my intention. And so filming it was strangely...
I love this bit.
And it left me questioning not only this experience, but many things I've done before. It made me wonder what I've been after. All this drama and pain to capture a few moments of light on the strip of celluloid. The truth did not seem ecstatic. It seemed vulgar.
This is what we set out to do, and we did it, you know? I mean,
the idea of Werner Herzog capturing, essentially, definitive proof of the Loch Ness Monster and being disappointed in it is hilarious. Because it's not human.
People die.
Yeah.
You know, that's always tragic.
See, I didn't really get that. But
what do you mean, you didn't get...
I'm not as focused on this movie as I should be when I watch it again. Is that fair?
No. What he basically said was, since I never set out, and there's your Armageddon moment.
Yeah, it is.
Since I never wanted to
talk about the wrong stuff.
Since I didn't actually plan to capture the Loch Ness Monster, it was very disappointing when I did, is what he said, basically. Okay.
I need to see it again, because I'm... Yeah, I...
And now, here's your proof. Of course, here's your... If you had any doubt...
The funny music?
Not just that, but... Not just the funny music.
The scientific community is very skeptical. So what you want to try to do is hit as many bases as possible. Eyewitness accounts, for instance, would represent one base. You add photographs, that's two bases. If you can hit five or more bases, you got a home run.
That's a pretty funny line. That's a pretty funny line.
Maybe you think Smackaro looks up a Morse.
Smackaro? That's great.
I mean, what else have we done that would make it chase us?
And you look like a good fight, but I'm not. I'm not. I'm not a smacker.
Hey-o, Werner.
I'm not a smacker.
You are.
I'm not a smacker. I'm a free man.
This is all very Roger and me music.
Well, I look back, and I hear people talk about what that suffering. I say to myself, who suffered more than I did? I mean, other than the people who died.
See, this is one of those things where that's a Spinal Tap thing. It's like...
Yeah, but it's not badly done.
No. It's somebody who clearly has Spinal Tap in his blood.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who clearly says to his spouse, how much more black could it be? The answer is none.
None
more black.
Right. Completely straight-faced deadpan. Absolutely. Okay, no, he kind of grew on me. Yeah, I would like to see this again. I would very much like to see this again.
There's Crispin Glover.
Yeah.
Lena Herzog, so it was his wife or his daughter. Right. I guess we can hope it's his daughter.
And Sophia Penn. Yeah, I love when she dies on the steps in Godfather 3.
Oh, is that a... Who is Sophia Penn?
I have no idea. I don't think it's a Penn.
Related to Sean or related to Coppola? Oh, probably related to Zach, yes. Is Zach related to Sean and Chris?
God rest his soul. No, I don't think so. No, and Zach Penn, I never would have thought that's...
Given his credits, I would have never... If I had looked at his credits, I would have never rented this movie.
Absolutely not. Please. But no, see, that's nice, and it makes you wonder about how many filmmakers kind of get trapped in a Hollywood machinery. I mean, he might just be this kind of wacky Los Angeles-based improv comic who wanted to direct and who's been made to make shitty movies because that's what he does. But he writes them, right? If I understood that correctly.
No, he's primarily a writer. I think this might have been his first direction.
Okay.
Directing. And I think it's pretty sophisticated.
Absolutely. No, absolutely.
As a fake documentary, I think it gets certain things right that a lot of fake documentaries don't.
Mm-hmm. It's far better than, like, Meet the Ruttles, for instance, or, most any kind of Guffman parody, like Drop Dead Gorgeous, which you probably
haven't
seen.
Even this Spinal Tap has... And this is actually a fair... Because you're actually dealing with a three-camera. You've got the person making this documentary, you've got Werner Herzog's... Or again, two cameras set up. The documentary, and then the Werner Herzog camera.
Right.
That's a lot more sophisticated than, say, the Spinal Tap, which is one camera setup.
Yeah.
Where everything's like this, you know, moving around because it's one camera. So it's a more sophisticated technique.
Yeah. And Spinal Tap cheats on top of it. It's obviously two cameras where they're only supposed to be one.
Yes.
You know, but I guess we forget.
Chris Moore!
Oh, the angriest man in show business.
I wonder if it's the same Chris Moore.
Could be.
That would be Chris Moore.
I bet Chris Moore probably knows
Project
Zach Penn, right? I bet they're buds. Yeah,
given Chris Moore's tastes, I would assume that Zach Penn and
How
are good
is
friends.
Project Greenlight after the first season? I never watched it again. Is it good?
Yeah, the second and third seasons are both really good. The second movie is a piece of shit. The movie that came out of it.
Yeah.
The third movie is supposed to get a theatrical release. I think this Halloween. It's called Feast. I was actually the first guy who came out of that process unscathed, and he seemed like the least likely to.
Nice.
So there it is. The movie's over.
Awesome. Thank you for showing that to me.
Because now you've
made, well, now you've made me want to watch it again. So mission accomplished, friend.
So
you can make me watch it twice.
Good night. Thank you for listening.